Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guests today are Dr. Brian Shaw and Dr. Greg Hammerly. Dr. Shaw serves as an associate professor of chemistry and biochemistry at Baylor, and Dr. Hammerly is an associate professor of computer science. Together, they developed an app to help families detect early signs of various eye diseases, including the pediatric eye cancer, retinoblastoma. Shaw's son, Noah, developed retinoblastoma as an infant. Noah, now a healthy 11-year-old, lost an eye to the disease, an experience that led Shaw to partner with Hammerly to help other families detect disease more quickly. Together, they developed an app called Cradle that searches family photos for signs of wide eye that can signal the presence of disease, and the prototype app was recently featured in the journal Science Advances, with a study finding it to be an effective tool to augment clinical screenings. It's been a busy stretch for both of you, but it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Derek.
Well, you know, we're visiting with you. You visited with CBS this morning, not too long ago, for a story they're working on, so it's exciting to see that national attention coming to work that we've been able to see here at Baylor for a little while now. And let's dive right into it. Let's start with I gave a brief description of Cradle and what we're talking about, but can you take us a little deeper in that and how it works for families?
Well, let's start off with the name. So it is called Cradle, mm-hmm. Computer Assisted Detector of Leukocoria, but Apple kind of wanted us to change the name a little to something a bit more descriptive. So it's also called the White Eye Detector. So if you're searching for it, use White Eye Detector, and you'll always be able to find it.
And you can find it in the Apple App Store or in the Google Play Store. So it's for Android or iOS.
Get it for both. Would either of you have imagined, Dr. Shaw, you're a chemist, Dr. Hammerly, computer scientist, would you have imagined sitting here talking about what we're about to talk about, not only from your own personal experience, but just as academics, the way you've come together to create something like this, an app that helps families detect disease?
You know, there's a lot of things that happened to me in relation to this project I would have never anticipated. Mm-hmm. Having a 4-month-old diagnosed with tumors in both of his eyes was the beginning. But after that, all the other stuff wasn't too surprising.
Well, as an academic, you always hope to make an impact in the real world, but it doesn't always happen, right? You publish research and it goes into the ether, and this really, you know, has a real-world impact, which has been really satisfying.
Well, obviously a pretty incredible personal story and an incredible young man. And Noah, as we mentioned, now a healthy 11-year-old. But Dr. Shaw, you and your family experienced some real challenges. On this side of the ledger first, what does it mean to you to now be on the side of things, helping other families hopefully catch this early?
Well, it's good. It warms your heart. You know, as a father, having Noah as a child, it's now the benefits are... or for him to enjoy too. He's getting older and he knows what's going on. And now I can show him the other children that have been helped because of the ordeal he went through. Mm-hmm. And that's more important now than it's ever been for him. So that's something new.
Could you take us inside those early experiences, what it was like for you and your family in those early days?
Well, it was rough. It was the best of times and the worst of times. I was just getting ready to go on the job market, and my wife noticed these white pupils in all of his pictures, and she finally told the pediatrician, and within 4 hours, we were referred to an ophthalmologist, and he was diagnosed with tumors in both of his eyes. Right as he sat on my lap, the ophthalmologist made the diagnosis in minutes, and it was just... one nightmare after another.
Wow.
It was awful. But we got through it.
Hmm. What? How common is this disease? And as you were working through it with Noah, what did you learn about it?
Yeah. So with retinoblastoma, there's about 8,000 children in the world that get it each year, and half of them will die. Most of those deaths are going to be in resource-limited settings because the tumor is diagnosed late and it's already crawled down the optic nerve back to the brain. So the health disparity that I learned about was pretty shocking. there are all sorts of other disorders that present with this white pupil or this leukocoria, as the doctors refer to it. And some of those are common, like refractive error and myopia and strabismus and amblyopia. And others are rare, Coates disease.
You know, you mentioned the stark statistics. What were some of those moments like? And what were the moments like as you realized there was going to be the opportunity to, now that you've found it, to treat it?
Well, whenever you have a kid with bilateral retinoblastoma, tumors in both of the eyes, you also have a 5 to 10% chance of developing retinoblastoma on your third eye, your pineal gland. You actually have a gland in the center of your head with photoreceptors. You could call it your third eye. And if it develops there, it is not good. Mm-hmm. So you get MRIs every few months. And you know, there was a time where it looked like maybe he had developed that. And it was on a Friday. And they had to do a spinal tap without anesthesia, because we'd already used the anesthesia for the MRI. And cytology couldn't examine the results till Monday. So, you know, all weekend you're thinking your boy has brain cancer and he's, you know, may not survive. And, you know, I was in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I was a postdoc at Harvard. I didn't even live there. I didn't know, well, where would I bury him? What, you know, it was just, you just think about these awful things and it's rough.
And he was how old when this process began?
4 months. He was diagnosed on exactly 4 months at his four-month well baby visit.
Visiting with Dr. Brian Shaw and Dr. Greg Hammerly, and you mentioned that your wife noticed white eye in the pictures. What is the significance of that, which obviously, as we talk about the app later on, will take on even greater significance in your work?
So if you see a white pupil in a picture of your child, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean that you're just reflecting light off the optic disc, the little 1.8 to 2 millimeter white disc in the back of your eye, and that is not always a problem. It could mean you have refractive error or lazy eye or something like that. But you can also have white pupils because light's reflecting off a tumor, or light's reflecting off a cataract in your lens, or a cholesterol deposit in the back of your eye if you have Coates disease, or if your retina's damaged. Retinopathy of prematurity, ROP, can cause leukocoria. So it's a symptom of a lot of different disorders. And this app, we were quite surprised to find how many of these disorders the app's able to catch.
Mm-hmm. And to be clear, people are used to seeing red eye pupils in photos, mm-hmm. and that's not an issue. And that's the kind of thing that we're looking for, except white. And if the reflection is off the surface of the eye, you know, you get what we call a specular reflection. It's this point source off the surface of the eye, that's not a problem either. But if the pupil is filled with a white light, that's the type of symptom that we're looking for.
Dr. Hammerly, as we hear Dr. Shaw tell his story and his son Noah's story, certainly I think for those of us hearing it from him the first time, it's quite poignant. But as you've got to know him and his family, as you know, as colleagues and as researchers and as friends, what stands out to you about the Shaw family and what they faced and that just desire to channel it for something greater?
Well, I find it difficult to imagine what they've gone through, even knowing them for a while and hearing their story and knowing them. It's just hard. I'm a father of two boys who have similar ages to Brian's two boys, and I can't imagine going through that. So just wanting to support them, but also I see in their family a ton of energy and desire to help other people. I've seen Brian and his family go time after time in support of virtual support usually, or you know, calling people, emailing people, trying to get the word out about these diseases, trying to get people the support that they need, the help that they need, for people who have heard about our project, written to us, written to Brian, and needed support, moral support, and he's just always been there for them. Mm-hmm. So I'd say their desire to be a good word about what can happen with this disease, but also how you can get support and what people need to be on the lookout for is just, they're indefatigable. You know, that's the word I'm looking for, is indefatigable. They're tireless in their efforts here. It's been really an admirable thing.
Dr. Sean Noah, as we mentioned, he's a healthy 11-year-old. He did, the disease did claim an eye. How old was he when that decision was made and that realization was, this is how we treat it? And is it something that with early detection maybe could have been avoided?
Yeah, so we caught it at 3 months old, and then we reported it at 4 months old, and he was diagnosed at 4 months old. And you give him chemo, systemic chemo, to try and shrink the tumors. And sometimes the tumors respond well and they just almost dissolve, chemo reduction it's called, but his didn't. And then they started to break up. And when that happens, you can have seeding and metastasis. So we fought it for about 5 months. And then at 9 months, he lost the eye. And the tumor was so big in the eye that it began to wander. The eye had begun to wander. And he probably didn't have much vision in it anyway. We could have saved it maybe with radiation, but the dose of radiation we would have had to have given him would have been so large. And for an eye that you don't have much vision in, if we would have caught it when the white eye emerged, looking back in photos, the white eye began to emerge at 12 days old. We just didn't notice it. If we had caught it then, his ophthalmologist predicted he would have just got laser photoablation therapy. The tumors would have been so small, millimeter, submillimeter, they would have just blasted them with the laser. No chemo, no radiation, no eye removal. Or this is one of the cancers where early detection totally improves the prognosis. And it improves the vision. However big the tumor is, that's how big your blind spot's going to be.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Brian Shaw and Dr. Greg Hammerly. And as you got some distance from this and you began to think about ways to help other families dealing with this and help detect this earlier, what was the genesis of this app, that idea formation, and how did you both come to work together?
For me, the idea that a parent could be helped by technology that searched through their photos popped in the brain. It just, the light bulb went off when I saw a picture of my son with white eye at 12 days old, months before it was diagnosed. And after his doctor told me what the prognosis would have been if we had brought him in earlier, I thought, oh boy, we need some sort of technology. And then I moved to Baylor and I met Greg.
Greg, what were your thoughts when this was presented to you?
So my research area is in machine learning, and it seemed like a natural fit to my research area because machine learning has been used to tackle a lot of the – if you take this problem of taking a natural photo, and when I say natural, I mean not clinical, and trying to identify symptoms of disease, you need to break that down into parts, and those parts are like, where are their faces in this photo, and where are the eyes in this photo, and do those eyes look diseased? And when I sort of heard Brian's story and he described, you know, where we want to go with this, I immediately thought, well, you can break that problem down into these parts. And a lot of those, if not all of those, can be answered with machine learning approaches. And so it's kind of the immediate idea was what it became. I mean, the immediate idea was let's take these approaches, and that's sort of what we did. The actual getting from idea to the app itself took a while. At the time when we first met, you know, smartphones existed, but they were not nearly what they are today. So we had a few false starts at the beginning, but it seemed the path ahead seemed clear. It was just getting there and finding the right people like Ryan Henning to work on this project with us, who was my former graduate student.
No, there's been a lot of great people, past and current, who have worked with you on this to get it to this point. I think you mentioned a little of the challenges in terms of, you know, whether it's finding the location in the photo of the eye or it's a non-professional photo. But what were some of the, whether you want to call them hurdles or just problems that needed to be solved along the way, what were some of the biggest areas that you had to apply your expertise to?
Well, the first thing is, for any machine learning project, you have to have sort of examples of what you're looking for. And we needed examples of what looked like diseased eyes and what looked like normal eyes. And finding normal eyes is really easy. Pictures of normal eyes. You just go out on the internet, look for Creative Commons images, and there are millions of them. Finding examples of the diseased eyes that we were looking for is quite a bit more difficult because, you know, this doesn't affect as many people in order to collect enough information, you need a lot of images. And so we collected initially images from NOAA, and then we also, as the story got around, we also were able to collect many, many more images. But initially, we just had a few images. So collecting data was one of the first problems. Getting another major problem is just the robustness of the detector itself. So you want it to make sure that it's actually detecting faces and not hubcaps, which we've seen. You want to make sure that it's actually triggering on the right kind of disease presentation and is not giving you false positive triggers. So we don't want the app to scare people. We don't want it to scare parents. We want it to only trigger in cases where there really is a white eye presentation. And so getting it to be robust with respect to different lighting conditions, different faces, orientations, people being far away in the picture, people being close in the picture, all these things are just variables that you don't control when you don't control who's taking the picture and under what conditions. And so the other major problem was just getting it to behave well in all different situations.
And, you know, all the disadvantages of diverse photography that parents take in non-clinical settings, all these challenges that Greg just described, there's one huge benefit to it, and that is parents take pictures of children at multiple optic axes. And so that increases. When a doctor does the red reflex test, when they shine a light in your kid's eye at a pediatric visit, undilated, they're only seeing 2% of the retina. But mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever, they take pictures at all these different angles.
And they're doing it all the time.
And they're doing it all the time. And if they're doing it in the holidays, it might be dark light. Pupil might be open up. And so you increase the probability that if there is a lesion, light from the flash will reflect off of it and reflect back to the detector in your camera. So the types of photos that parents take are a curse and a blessing for us, mm-hmm. I would say.
But we're playing a numbers game here because we're, like Brian is saying, a pediatrician will screen your child once every few months. We get tons of information about that child's eyes into the app at every opportunity. And so we can afford to be very conservative with when the app triggers, because if there is a symptom that's going to present itself, it's going to present itself many times over. And if we can just catch a small percentage of that, then we can alert appropriately the parents when that happens.
Yeah, so if a parent has, you know, 5, 10, 15 white eye pics on their phone, we don't need to detect everyone. We just need to detect one to alert them, mm-hmm. and they can investigate.
We are visiting with Dr. Brian Shaw and Dr. Greg Hammerly, and as we head into the final few moments on the program, you've painted a really good picture of how this works and the benefits of it. You recently passed a pretty important step on the way with the Science Advances study that talked about it being a very good tool that can, I guess, in some cases help parents. You know, obviously it doesn't replace the doctor, but it can replace the necessity of getting a screening early on. What does that study mean for the app going forward?
Well, it really proves for the first time that casual photographs that parents take can be useful for this app. It shows that this app is capable of detecting leukocoria in casual sets of photographs, and that it can detect leukocoria or white eye in the pictures long before the child was eventually diagnosed by a doctor.
Yeah, until this point, we had our beliefs and that this worked well, but this is it's a validation of the approach.
It's the first time anyone's ever even looked at the frequency mm-hmm. of wide-eyed pictures, how often they pop up in casual sets of photographs that parents take of kids with all these different eye disorders. Nobody had ever even looked at how often wide-eye shows up in pictures that parents take of their child from birth through diagnosis, treatment, you know, remission in the case of cancer. So that was nice. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hammerly mentioned they can get it on iTunes in the Google Store. And again, it's mm-hmm. called the Cradle app, but how mm-hmm. best can families find this?
Yeah, they can search for the White Eye Detector or White Eye app. I believe it might also come up under Cradle, but the best option is to search for White Eye Detector.
White Eye Detector.
I think it comes up for the Android version. It comes up whether you search Cradle or White Eye Detector. But for Apple, I think mm-hmm. you have to search Cradle. And the Android and the Apple version work a little differently. Mm-hmm. The Android version, once you turn it on, it will scan in the background
mm-hmm.
constantly,
photo.
Forever, until you turn it off. And if there's a problem, it'll tell you. The iPhone version, Apple doesn't like apps running in the background because of the battery drain issues. So you have to turn it on and search your photos each time you wish.
But the Android version will not drain your battery. I run it on my phone.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Dr. Shaw, would be remiss if we didn't ask you that. What might we find Noah doing today? What are some of his talents and gifts that you get a lot of joy out of watching him do?
Well, Noah, he has some real gifts. He's a precocious reader. He started reading very early. And we've learned that despite having slight hearing damage from the carboplatin, despite having hearing aids, we've had some music instructors, two of them actually, tell us he has perfect pitch.
Hmm.
So he can call out notes, and he's a pretty good bass player. So he has some musical gifts. And so he plays a lot of music. He crafts a lot. He's always building stuff with paper and tape. He's having a good time in life. I mean, you can look back and say, gosh, why did this happen to such an innocent child? Why did such a bad thing happen to him? But if you count up his curses and his blessings, way, way, way more blessings.
That's fantastic. Well, quite an impressive young man, and I'm glad to hear you said he's starting to understand how what happened to him is going to help other people, and I'm sure as he gets older, he'll even see that even more.
One last thing. We always need more pictures. Mm-hmm. If your child has amblyopia, strabismus, refractive error, cataract, even the rare serious disorders like retinoblastoma or Coates disease, and you want to donate your images to our research team, they'll help us out. Mm-hmm. And you can obviously remain confidential.
Right. How can they get that to you?
You can email me at bryan_shaw@baylor.edu, bryan_shaw@baylor.edu.
Brian with a Y.
Brian with a Y. Or find Brian Shaw or Greg Hammerly at computer science or chemistry at Baylor.
So email those and they will take you up on those. Well, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, we hope people will take the opportunity, young parents, maybe if they're expecting to go ahead and look this up so they have it at the ready, White Eye Detector and the White Eye app. Our guest today, Dr. Brian Shaw and Dr. Greg Hammerly here on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections.